Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
And we are back just like that.
We are back. It is Mother's Day for us. It will be Monday when you guys are hearing this, but this is Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. A little sad for me, though, Mother's Day.
On both of us.
Sometimes I forget that I'm a mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's my day, too,
because
my whole life, even when I was a mom, when my mom was here, it was still her day over my day. Yeah, so it's weird. And I've told you, like, all week long, I keep having this feeling like, oh, my God, what am I going to get my mom for Mother's Day? Or I didn't get her a Mother's Day gift yet.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh. I keep having, like, when you have a feeling you're forgetting something, I keep feeling like I'm forgetting something. And it's just because, and this is not my first Mother's Day without her, but it's because, I don't know. It's the second one.
You miss her. You're thinking about her. It's She's sad. On your mind.
It is sad, but I got my, what do we have here? Nespresso. We're back to Nespresso. Espresso. Got a little dollop in there. Cheers.
Yep. Hope everyone's having a good weekend. It was nice warm weather out here in the
area. The time they're listening to this, they're irritated that you said that because they're on a Monday.
On a Monday.
They need to gear up for a good, successful week.
That's true.
Not thinking about the weekend anymore. Weekend is in the past.
It's all right. It's okay to look back and say, it was a nice
weekend. But Mondays, you know what, though? But Monday, people should tackle Monday, think more positively about Monday.
Yes, yes. Don't think negative.
Yeah, think it's a new week.
Yeah.
A clean slate.
Yep.
Time to be...
Tighten some things down. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish this week?
Yeah.
You want to tighten down your diet?
I don't think Monday's my least favorite day. I think my least favorite day is like Tuesday and Wednesday. Like, I don't love Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Too far away from the weekend. It lost that freshness of a Monday. But Thursday, you start to get excited for the weekend. We do the podcast. We start talking about Friday already.
Now, we're in a bubble because me and you grew up in America. Is the weekends exciting everywhere around the world? You know what I mean? Is it such a big deal?
I think so.
You think so?
Probably.
I'm curious
that there's a campaign out to, like, because the standard work week is known as Monday through Friday.
Yes.
There's a campaign of people out there that are trying to get that changed to four-day work weeks.
I always like, I did 4-10s when I did security.
I think 4-10s is ideal.
Yeah. You're a little tired, but you'll survive.
To me, 10 hours is what I do anyway.
You get 3 days off.
And then get 3 days off. You know why? Because how are people supposed to get their errands done?
Yes.
If their off time is only a Saturday and a Sunday, what about doctor's appointments and grocery shopping and errands?
Yeah.
They need an errand day.
Exactly. One day dedicated.
Dedicated to errands. You schedule all your the dental appointments and your kids' things and conferences. You schedule that on like your errands day, and then your weekend is like family time.
Yeah,
I think that would be great. And I think a lot of companies are having to adopt that now in order to be competitive in the work market.
Huh? It's crazy that it's flipping the other way around.
It's flipping. The people are taking back their power a little bit, and they're like, "Wait, no. Oh, you don't have a hybrid schedule? No, thank you. I'm not interested in your job." They want hybrid schedules where they don't have to be in the office every day. Again, that makes absolute sense. And today, listen, 25 years ago, it didn't make sense. It was very unusual to have a work from home job even 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But with technology.
Games changed.
Yes.
Big time.
Now, I do believe it's important to get in there a little bit. It's good for like team building and things like that. But it depends on your position.
Yeah.
And for as many hours as you spend on calls anyway, and a lot on Zoom calls, like you're in your cubicle on Zoom calls, you may as well be at home and have gained back some time. I used to commute really far to work.
And that's what's even worse right there. The bad part is not only got to be at work all day, which get it, you're getting paid, but the commute, man, especially if you live where we live in the Bay Area or
I'm
Los
sure we have
Angelinos
a lot of listeners
or something out there. It's just horrible.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners probably listen to us during their commute.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Apple does, which is genius? Like, we're in the Bay Area. You guys, Apple is big out here in the Bay Area. This is their corporate
the biggest
headquarters. And my sister works for Apple, so she told me what they do, which is so cool. They have these commuter vans. They have they pick up their employees like in these commuter vans, or they have these pickup points.
Yeah.
And even if it's like a 2-hour drive into the office or something, these commuter vans are not like what you think of. Okay. They are like office on wheels. So she gets into her little, in her commuter van, and she plugs in her laptop and she starts working. So the work day actually starts when she gets in the van.
That is genius by them. Yeah. There's no time wasted.
She said it's the best. Like on her way home.
No time wasted.
She's, if she's done with work for the day, she'll like schedule appointments, do online shopping, do order her groceries. And it's now no longer dead time.
No.
Isn't that amazing what they do for their employees? They do that. And I think it's free. Genius. But you know what? They're smart. They're going to get more work out of their employees. They're going to get more value for the, most of them are salary, right? They're not paid hourly. So they're going, but they're going to work more hours. It's genius.
Yeah. Apple's worth like 1 point something trillion. They're like, I think the richest company out there. It's insane. Crazy. Beautiful. That company's crazy, man. It's a innovation. You know how far they've come. Started with a little MP3 player. Then the phone. Remember that
The computer. They had it. My brother had one of the first Apple computers. I remember it.
And then they evolved into the little MP3s and the phones. They just, it's like nonstop.
iPad and the, they don't stop. Just like we were talking about last week.
Everything.
Like, they don't stop. They'll just keep innovating and innovating.
Yes.
It's crazy. I know. My menopause symptoms are in a full swing right now. I am in the throes of it. Damn. I feel I'm getting the hot flu. I know we talked about it a couple days ago, but every day, like I'm noticing specific symptoms. It's really cool because a lot of my clients and a lot of the people who follow me, they're right in this place in their life. So I can really, finally, like really relate.
Yes. You know now.
Yeah. And it's good. It's good because.
And you know what to do as well. I'm sure you're going to learn.
I'm going to learn because I've looked up some supplements that can help alleviate the symptoms. So definitely my energy is lower, but it's probably a direct result of my sleep isn't as good. You awaken very easily and you don't fall asleep. It's so frustrating because you're tired, but you don't fall asleep.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it's trouble staying asleep and then the hot flashes. Now, I haven't experienced weight gain or any of that because I follow macronutrients. So it doesn't matter whether my energy is lower or I follow a schedule for working out. I follow a step goal and I follow macronutrients. So I've circumvented that. Now, had I not been, this is the point in time where I would start putting on weight. Why? Because I'm not sleeping. And then my mood is bad. Then I don't work out. Then I walk less steps. When you don't sleep good, you crave more. It's a little harder to stay in the deficit.
Yeah. Or slipping. Letting off the.
Yeah. You get your cravings are higher. Mm-hmm. When you don't sleep well. So
big time.
Now more than ever, it's imperative to be following like a specific lifestyle. But the other stuff I still experience, but I did do some research on some supplements. So I'm going to order. We have B vitamins, a super B complex. So I haven't been taking those, but I'm going to start taking those. I'm going to add those to my routine. And then magnesium L-glycinate. I take L-threonate for sleep, but it also says L-glycinate specifically for menopause symptoms. So I'll try it.
So if you're following your macronutrients and you're not overeating, you're in menopause, you're not gaining weight.
No, none of those symptoms will cause miraculous weight gain. And that's the biggest misconception about menopause. People think menopause causes weight gain. No, it doesn't, actually.
Ms. Bustin.
Menopause causes side effects that lead to behaviors that cause weight gain.
There you have it.
And that's one of the biggest misconceptions. And the perception is that you gain weight rapidly. It's not that it's rapidly, but it is more concentrated into your abdomen because of the fluctuations in your hormones. And it seems like it's more weight than it is because it's concentrated to your abdomen. You know what I mean? So if you gain 5 pounds and it's spread from your forehead to your toes, you're going to hardly notice that 5 pounds.
Yes.
You gain five pounds and it's all in your abdomen.
Yes.
It's going to feel like 20.
Feel like you're lugging a chunk of food.
Yeah, that's what I did experience in December. Like I put on a couple pounds, maybe 4 pounds or something like that. It went all to my midsection where I couldn't button my jeans. It's like I didn't gain much weight. but I couldn't button my jeans.
Damn.
I've never gained 4 pounds and had to get a different size pants. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Usually you could still fit in your same clothes, but I lost it very fast and it came right back off. It doesn't stop you from being able to lose weight either.
Why do they have to make us this way? Why will you have to go through menopause? And why do men's testosterone got to go?
The hot flashes have been the worst because it comes out of nowhere and it feels like you're
like the
burner inside of you just gets flicked on and just went. Yeah. And I feel like my mood too. But I don't know if it's because of Mother's Day is coming or just like my mood. I've just been sad. But it's probably both. It's probably a mixture. Yeah. But I definitely feel like it affects the mood. But yeah, so anyways, there's that exciting news, guys, in the world of menopause. But stay tuned because I'll give you more.
Yeah.
Now, I want to have my hormones checked and I want to talk to my doctor about hormone replacement therapy if I need it. I'm not necessarily, it's earlier on the range of menopause, but not considered early menopause because I'm 47. Early menopause is 45 or younger.
Oh.
So I'm right there at the beginning. It is early, though. And it's interesting because my mom didn't go into menopause until her 50s.
Yeah.
But here I am.
Your mama also didn't take.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're going to say. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
All right. So we went to a new restaurant in San Jose yesterday.
Yes, we did.
A friend of yours has a group of investors and they opened a restaurant.
Yes.
You want to talk about
partnership?
It?
Yeah, my boy Johnny opened up called El Cabron.
Yeah, El Cabron. Remember, we were trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah, it's downtown San Jose. I don't know the address off my head, but you can look it up. You can Google it.
It is. I'll put it up on the screen for YouTube. It is steps away from San Pedro Square.
Yes,
you just cross the street.
Yeah, it's literally out the street from a bar, nightclub, whatever you want to call it, or a day club. It's called Myth.
Yeah, so if you're from the Bay Area, Myth. It's right next to Myth.
Pretty
much.
It's
like on the corner, on the other corner.
Yes, right up the
from
street.
Myth. I love the ambiance. Very Instagrammable ambiance.
Yes.
It's cool. It has like really cool like murals and like photo op spots. Yeah. Loved the chips and guac.
You know the chips and guac were
That's
fire.
Very important to me. If a Mexican restaurant must have excellent chips and guac,
yes,
or I will not want to go there.
Facts.
That's number one. And then I had the chicken tacos. Very clean. If you're looking for a clean dish, the tacos were, like, the meat was so good.
Yes.
Chopped, in my chicken tacos, was chopped chicken breast. It wasn't some, like, soupy, ultra-marinated. You know, sometimes they do that. I don't like it.
I know what you mean.
The tikka
like
or
the
something?
Juices, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like when they do that. It's just grilled chicken breast. So it's grilled chicken breast, and they give you a little side thing with onions and cilantro and look like homemade corn tortillas. It was delicious. Yeah. And the steak. You had the steak.
Steak was good.
The steak looked good.
Steak tacos, yes.
Next time I go, I want to get the steak salad because the steak looked amazing.
And how was the churros?
Oh, man. The churros and ice cream.
Yeah. The dessert.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We enjoyed that. So, if you want to check out potentially a new spot in San Jose, check it out. I'll put it up on the screen and then I'll tag their Instagram in the show notes.
Yeah,
well.
I'm not sure exactly when they're going to open. That was just for friends and family.
Yeah, I think next weekend.
Oh, next weekend?
Yeah. So next weekend they should be open. I think they're going to do like brunches and it's open air restaurant, which I love. So it's all open.
Yes, like doors open.
I love that.
It's going to be warm during the day, right? It's going to be like AC inside or fans and then the warm heat.
Yeah,
summer's
it's like
here.
Inside outside feeling to it. Really cool. But yeah, anyways, we did that. And then we walked around. San Jose is popping. That's what I have to say.
San Pedro Square is popping.
Yeah,
we'll
it
get
came
out
alive
there.
Again
we don't
or
get
something.
Out there at night.
No, but there was so many people out and about. Normally, we're Santana Row people. But I'm like, man, I think I want to be a San Jose back to my roots.
Right here. Closer
to
home, too.
Stay home in San Ho because there was a lot of people out, a lot of options. We went to this one spot. It is Dr. Funk.
Yeah, Dr. Funk.
Let me tell you,
it
is a tiki
restaurant.
Bar.
Yeah.
But when you do not... When you walk inside this place, you do not know what time of day it is, where you are, what city, what state, what country, and what season. You're like enclosed.
Yes.
It's a very interesting vibe.
Yeah.
But it's a tiki bar, very over the top decorations. There, it's a rum bar, so they specialize in rum drinks.
And boy, are they strong.
Yeah. If you want to go,
wow.
Actually, we should have told Tyler that'd be a good place for his friends to get a drink and be intoxicated.
Yeah. What did we get? A puka punch, it was called?
Puka punch.
Yeah. For one.
I took two sips.
Yeah, we
and I went straight to the noggin.
We didn't even finish it.
But they have, at this place, Dr. Funk, they have those huge drinks where they put straws in it. And
yeah.
And then we had a little appetizer there. We did a little crawl. It was almost like we did a little crawl there. Because we went to we ate at El Cabron, and then we had the fries at.
How many options are there down there? It's crazy. You have sushi, you have Mexican, La Jolla, you got Dr. Funk. Their menu is interesting, burger, fries.
Then there's the Irish Spot.
Irish Spot, which usually wings and chicken.
There's the Farmers Union, which has amazing food, too.
Yeah, they got a dumpling, Japanese barbecue, and then you got that inside that little
district. And then there's inside, there's a bunch, there's like a food court thing. What is that place called? I can't think of what it's called. It's almost like a food court.
You go walk right past Spaghetti Factory. You'll know. You'll see.
Yeah, it's very cool. Anyway, so there's a lot going on. A
lot of options.
Very interesting.
Tons.
There's a place called The Social that's bowling. And
yeah.
I want to go there and check it out just to see what it's about.
Look cool. Look at that. Downtown San Jose is alive.
But what I like, and are you like this too? I think you are. I like to see people out and about with their dogs and happy and walking around.
Next time I'm bringing my dog.
And sitting and I don't know. It just like when I walk through a place and there's nobody there or it's like very quiet or there's not a lot of people, I sad.
There's a time and place for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like it. I like to.
You like a pulse. Yeah.
Yes, I like a pulse. I like a pulse. It's actually right by the downtown Orange Theory. That's over there somewhere.
Yeah, not too far from there.
Yeah. I think we'll be venturing back out to San Jose.
Yeah.
No, back out to San Jose. We live in San Jose, but back downtown. It's downtown.
I know. And it's really just
so
it's
close.
Easy. You just drive Alum Rock all the way down.
Yeah, it's close for us downtown. I never used to spend a lot of time downtown. I don't like driving. I don't know. I was afraid to drive downtown.
You know what's crazy is me not being from San Jose, I spend a hell of time downtown, cruising, partying, bouncing.
When you lived in San Francisco?
I was a bouncer, too.
In San Jose?
Yes, for Club Wild, for Jenny.
But did you live in San Francisco at the time?
Yep.
So you commuted?
Yeah, me and Mo would come up. We'd take turns. Sometimes he drives, sometimes I drive. It was fun. Something to do.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
All right. Speaking of driving. What do you feel about, what's your opinion on, let's talk about gender roles a little bit, on driving. So do you think men should drive more than women, or do you get annoyed when I always want to be the passenger princess?
That's a good question. I got to give that some thought. I don't know.
It's like, it's basically.
I don't get annoyed because I don't mind driving. I don't know. It's an interesting question. What made you?
Well, I was just, because I was listening to something, it was another podcast on chivalry. And that was just one of the things, like, do you drive? And it, because is chivalry dead, basically? Because, like, now it's very, you have to be scared. It's a little nerve-wracking. You can't assume gender roles anymore. People get weird. Oh, gender roles, like a women raise the kids, men take care of the family. You can't, like, assume gender roles anymore because we're progressive now. Women take on manly duties. Men take on womanly duties. So because of that, is chivalry dead? And chivalry is, you know, things like opening the door for a woman or keeping them safe, keeping them on the inside of the sidewalk instead of the outside, things like that. Is chivalry
being a man
dead? Driving, doing the driving, pumping gas.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on chivalry? Do you think it's dead? Or do you think it's important?
I don't know if it's dead. It's just different.
Yeah.
Technology change. Why do I got to walk around and open up your door when click remote, you open up your own door?
You've never opened my door, that's for sure. Never, not even from day one.
No, probably.
But not. I don't really.
It's not my thing. I'm not going to pretend. Some people have their things, like they bring you flowers every day. Like I told you, some people overkill on love, but is it really love? I think when people go overboard on something, they're just trying to compensate.
I think
compensate.
It's important. Here's my take on.
But I do agree. You shouldn't pump gas. Maybe I should be with you. I said, you shouldn't pump gas alone. Maybe I should be with you for safety reasons.
No, it's not about safety, but you mean, are you okay with, that? This was a big debate on this podcast I listened to. You're perfectly fine just sitting in the car while I get out of the car and pump the gas?
Doesn't bother me if you want to. You've done it. I've done it.
No, I know, but that was one of the things. Like some, there was the guy on this particular podcast was saying that that's a red flag. If you are dating someone and you pull up to a pump and get out and he lets you pump your own gas, that is a bad sign.
So, hold up. What if that same person goes to the pump by herself and she pumps her own gas? Then what? So because
if she's
so because,
by herself,
because a man is in the passenger side, he has to pump her gas.
He should, yeah, at least offer.
I mean, yeah, be a gentleman, sure.
I'm for That's what I'm saying. I'm chivalry. I don't think ultra. I don't need my door opened.
There's some shit from back in the day that was just too much. Sorry.
No, I don't need my door.
You know what I'm saying? Just like women, I don't like some old school guys having their head that barefoot, cook clean. Do your motherly duties and that's that. You can't have a career of your own. Some people are old school like that. I don't agree with that. You're holding the woman down. You're insecure,
that's what I'm saying.
Opinion.
Cut both ways. Because, okay, you can be, want chivalry. Okay, I want my doors opened. I want you to pump the gas. I want you to do all of these things. But then that also means in turn, okay, you're going to, I'm going to fold your underwear and make dinner every night. It goes both ways. Mm. If you're, you can't. It's you're going to assume those roles or not. Now, I think it's important. Here's my thing.
I've never assumed you're going to do my laundry or fold my underwear. I do my own.
This is my take on that whole thing, on taking care of your spouse and things. If you're equally busy people, you're trying to run the household, I think you should partner and run the household together. I don't think, now, if you were the one who was working and I wasn't working, and I was like staying home, taking care of kids or whatever, then I would feel it would be my duty to pick up more slack. If you were out working and I'm at home more, I would do more. Yeah. But I think it should be equal. I think that things should be equal. I don't like in terms of getting things done around the house and things like that.
Yeah. Got to divide and conquer. Teamwork makes the dream work.
It shouldn't be like, okay, so if you've got two individuals, male and female, they both work full time. They're super busy, both. It's not okay to then just assume that the wife is going to take care of all the household wifey duties because that's what's been done since the 50s, right? She's going to be come home and make dinner and clean and mop the floor and clean the bathrooms because you're the man.
Do the dishes.
No, sorry. You're both working equally. If you want that toilets cleaned and all of that, then the wife shouldn't have to work because that would be then her job to run the household if she wasn't working. If she's out working, then everything else is 50-50. That you should be both contributing. It shouldn't be like, oh, I'm a man, so I'm not going to make dinner or I'm not going to clean the toilet bowl.
Or at least put the dishes away or something.
No, more than that. And you know what? You don't get the pom-poms for doing it either. That irritates me. Is when there's duties that just need to be done. And mostly it's done, say, by one person, say the wife. And the minute that the husband does it, he wants to kudos. Hey, I empty the dishwasher. It's okay. It gets emptied twice a day, every day. Who do you think does it every other time? You don't get brownie points for that.
Yeah.
It's just about common sense and living together.
Yeah. Keeping the household clean, picking up. You see something? Oh, she's going to pick it up, so I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you see something, do something. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the kitchen and I'm cleaning up the kitchen or I have a dish and I go to put it in the dishwasher and the dishwasher is full but clean, I just bought myself a ticket to empty that dishwasher. Now, if I close the dishwasher and then just wash my little plate, individually hand wash it, that's a little sneaky because I'm just hoping someone else will empty the dishwasher.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Do you do that sometimes?
No.
You empty the dishwasher. Yeah. You're good about emptying the dishwasher.
It doesn't bother me.
Out of all the chores that I hate the most.
Throw the garbage out, it don't bother me.
Emptying the dishwasher is one of them. I hate emptying the dishwasher.
Crazy the assumption that women are supposed to stay in the kitchen you don't even cook for me. I cook my own food.
I don't.
I make my own little meals.
Yeah.
Because you have your own menu, because you're eating your own menu plan, your own stuff. So
I don't. I make you stuff sometimes, or if you ask me to make you, make me one of those, I'll make it. But we all eat our own style.
Yeah.
We eat our own way. And that's when you live in a house full of, we're in a house full of adults.
Yes, we are.
So it's different. It's not like we have, it wasn't like that early on for me. Obviously, I made dinner, the kids, when they were kids,
of course,
stuff like that.
Yes.
But I gladly don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's nice.
Everybody's on their own macro plan, eating what they're supposed to.
And the different schedules. You eat dinner like when I go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so crazy. Anyways, I don't think chivalry is dead. Here's my...
No.
Let's round out chivalry. I don't think it's dead, but I do think it's important with your partner to figure out what's important to them and do those things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't need my car doors open and things like that. You know, my gas pump, maybe sometimes, it depends if it's cold. If it's really cold or something, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get out there and do it. You know, things like that, but not, I'm not super stickler. Now, I do think it's important to anticipate needs, though. So, like, these kind of things are important to me. Like, if you see me coming in with a handful of groceries to run and help me, grab the bags out of my hands or things like that. Anticipating common sense needs. You know
what
I mean?
Not everybody has that, though.
No.
A lot of people don't have that.
No.
Or instincts.
No, or opening the door for like an elderly person. You see them struggling or yeah. holding the door open. Those are the things. Like, I'm yes. fine. It's like those things to me.
Yes.
Little things. Like, you open the gate for me sometimes when it's raining or
many
an ugly
times.
Day.
In
yeah,
the morning.
That's what I'm or saying.
Dumping, yeah. I run out there and open the gate.
But it doesn't have to be all the, like, every single time is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like anticipating the need because... Oh, it's extra cold today, so I'm going to do it for her. Or she didn't sleep well last night, so I'm going to take the dogs out this morning, let her sleep too. A few extra minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important to me. So chivalry is not dead. It's just changing, in
common
my opinion.
Common sense, too, man. People don't be having common sense.
All right. So guess what, guys? I know you probably are tired of talking about this topic, but it has to be said because it's a hot button in the weight loss world right now, and I want to cover... some more stuff that I've been hearing about Ozempic.
Uh-oh.
More so there's Ozempic. This big, like, outrage. Obviously, we know about people using Ozempic for weight loss. And there's a bunch of people who are coming out saying that Ozempic is actually making people fatter. And they're saying that because the type of weight loss that people are experiencing from Ozempic are... It's like a 75-25, meaning 75% is from muscle loss, 25% is from fat loss.
Oh, that's not.
So I saw that. So I thought, oh my gosh, like that's not good. So I did a little more digging into that. Is this factual? Who's saying it?
Yeah. Where's the information coming from?
Found some other doctors. And this is what I gather. I gather when you hear anything about Ozempic, for weight loss, whether the positives, the negatives, using semaglutide, right, peptides for weight loss. It's important to figure out who is telling you the information and what they have to gain or lose
yes,
from this.
Always.
Ozempic is causing people are resorting to spending their money on the medication and yeah. not fitness trainers and things yes. like that because it's expensive medication. The people that are the most fearful, they want to make sure, they want to say like how bad it is. It's bad. You're going to lose a lot of muscle. You're along with the fat or whatever. The truth is our bodies are pretty smart about knowing to use fat storage over muscle storage mm-hmm. in the majority. So unless there is extreme malnutrition and a lack of protein, you will lose a combination of both. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be heavily muscle and then just a little bit of fat. But you will lose both for yeah. sure. But just beware that the people that are really fear-mongering, they stand to lose by yep. a lot of people taking Ozempic. So there's always a little bit of truth that's exaggerated to fit their narrative.
To fit the narrative. There's
I'm
always
really
a narrative.
Really trying... to be very objective and very not try to, you know, form an opinion that is only good to benefit me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really educate myself on it just because it's important. Because I know I need to be really educated on this because not only for now helping everybody who listens to this show, but for the people that are going to encounter problems and things when they come off of it. Yep. And I want to be a resource to be able to help. So I've really been listening to a lot of information, reading a lot of information about it. So remember that. Consider the source, because a lot of people, they don't like that people are turning to medication. I still am very convinced that it's not the ideal solution for vanity weight loss. It really is not. There's a lot of side effects. No, because you got to think about this, especially when it comes to muscle and fat loss. For vanity weight, it's only like 10, 15 pounds, right? You don't have a lot of fat storage when you need to lose vanity weight.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of body fat. So when you undereat, the vanity people are going to lose more muscle
than
the obese people. True. It is made for obesity. It's going to work more effectively for people with true obesity. If I were to go on Ozempic to lose, like, ooh, let me try to lose 10 pounds. 5 of it would be fat maybe, and 5 of it would be muscle. Do you know how long it takes to put on 5 pounds of muscle?
Yeah, it's hard. Even for men, it's
hard.
That's like a year of grinding
of
the gym.
Hard work.
Like really grinding.
To get that muscle back. A year.
Yeah.
To lose it.
That's a good year, too. That's your on point with your diet, your training hard, your protein intake.
And that's a reason why if you're thinking about losing it for using it for vanity weight, you really want to think about that, because that's not worth it. Lose 5 pounds of fat, to lose 10 pounds when only 5 of it being fat and losing 5 valued pounds of muscle.
Yes.
Because guess what goes down with the muscle? When you lose the muscle, your metabolism's going to drop.
Yep. Now you're going to slow that down. Now you're going to get that weight back. It's going to creep eventually.
You're going to slow your metabolism down by losing the muscle, and then you're going to get your appetite's going to go through the roof when you start because you're not going to take the medication long term because you're not taking it for the disease of obesity. You're going to stop taking it. You're going to gain it back. Those are the people that I'm trying to really educate myself for, because those are the people who are going to need me.
Yes.
For sure.
And they're going to end up worse than they started because you deprive your body, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Exactly.
It reminds me of The Biggest Losers. Show where they extreme to the point
they
where
were
they
like
had,
forced
they had doctors on the show to monitor their health. It was that severe. And majority, 90%+ of them ended up worse. Mm-hmm. Gained more weight and then back. Gained the weight back and then more.
That's what's going to happen to a lot of the people who are taking the Ozempic for vanity weight.
Trying to cheat the game.
Now, for obesity, this is pretty strong opinion, pretty strong theories, is that you need to take it long term. It's a forever.
Damn.
So if you get diagnosed with obesity, you are on some form of this medication forever, or the obesity will return.
Whoa.
And so you have to really think about that. It's not the highest dosage. They taper down to a maintenance dosage, and you stay on that for the long run. It's treated like a disease. If you had diabetes or a heart condition or...
Well, it leads to all that.
Yeah, exactly.
All that.
But they're treating it like that. So you have to think if you're going to take the medication, you really need to consider taking it long-term/forever if you really want to keep the weight off, or things will revert back most likely. So that is the latest. So don't necessarily believe the hype, though. Don't let people fear-monger you into not taking it if you are obese and you're considering it because, you're going to lose muscle and not fat. Our bodies are actually designed to... It knows. They're very smart. It's going to use fat storage. Muscle is a last resort kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, though, if you want to minimize that, if you want to minimize the muscle loss, then you really need to... prioritize protein. And it's difficult because when you're not hungry and you don't want to eat, prioritizing protein is difficult.
A piece of meat sounds gross when you don't want to eat protein.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I would recommend, shakes, especially if you don't have a lot of appetite, liquid.
Yes. Shakes.
Liquid. Yeah. Liquid protein.
I do that. When I'm not hungry and I need my protein.
It'll be a lot easier to stomach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll slam a protein shake.
Yeah. Because it's on the flip side, if you're in a calorie deficit, don't drink don't have your calories liquid because it doesn't keep you full. I mean, it doesn't really satisfy you.
Yeah. No.
But if you are struggling, if you're a bariatric patient or on Ozempic and you're struggling with your appetite, but you need to get that protein in, it's a great way, is liquid form of protein. That's going to be a great way. Also take BCAAs. You need to get in front of the muscle loss so that you don't have a lot of muscle loss, but rest assured, your body knows what it's doing. You're not going to lose all of your muscle tissue and just be a bag of skin and fat, which is what these people would make you believe on these TikToks. Yeah. Then you're like, wait a minute.
If I lost 75, 25, that's a lot.
That's what they're saying. The
disparity is huge.
The 75, 25. It might be that for people that are like me. If I were to try to take Ozempic, if I lost 10 pounds, maybe 7.5 pounds of it would be muscle and 2.5 would be fat. Because all of a sudden I'm eating 900 calories a day and none of it's protein, so I could hardly even get the 900 calories down or 800 calories.
Yeah.
One of my clients that's on it, she said she could barely get in 800 calories and she doesn't want protein. I'm like, ugh, you got to get the protein.
Liquid.
In.
You better force it.
You better force it or this is not going to end well.
No. There's like a give and take with things, huh, in life.
Yeah, it's not. It's always something. You give up something to get something. Yes.
It's not to get off topic. Those damn commercials for something, HIV or something. They always show the people are happy. Oh, I'm taking this medication and I can live happily ever after. I'm like, are they really fucking happy? Like, they always make them seem happy. No, they have these diseases and sicknesses and they always show them happy.
They show them like picking produce at a farmer's market or something. But then it goes into the 10-page list of side effects.
Yes.
Nausea, like, vomiting, diarrhea, heartburn.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? You got to ask yourself.
Yes. And so that's is the juice worth the squeeze? For most people with actual obesity, and especially with a comorbidity, yes, I would say the juice is probably worth the squeeze. The vanity weight loss, the juice is not worth the squeeze, okay? You're not going to enjoy food. You're not going to even... You're not going to have the aesthetic look that you probably are looking for. And it's going to be very difficult to maintain. And psychologically, that's going to take its toll too.
Yeah.
That's the scoop on that. Still, it's ever evolving. It'll be interesting to see.
Right. See what else happens. Keep coming out. It's been a hot topic for a while now.
Yeah, it has been.
What's that been?
There is speculation.
They'll crack the code someday.
There is speculation that Lisa Marie Presley was taking like Ozempic type medication prior to her death. Not that led to her death because she also was back on opioids and obviously just had like cardiac arrest of some sort. So it had nothing to do with that, but she did lose like 60 pounds in a short amount of time in 6 weeks, 50 pounds or something like that in six weeks. She like didn't eat.
That's almost like short of a miracle to do that. That's a Herculean defeat because even to lose 20, I think I've come closer. 15 in a month was hard.
Yeah. So you got to understand if she was like her heart already wasn't healthy and you need fuel to live.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, I don't have an appetite, so I'm not going to eat. So great. I'm going to lose weight. No, when you're not the giving your body nutrients.
Yes.
Organs shut down.
Yes.
You need.
You die.
And she lost the weight. I guess she wanted to get ready for award season.
Oh, boy.
Because Elvis, she knew she was going to be in the front of the public and she had put on a lot of weight after her son committed suicide in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot. So anyways, it was really sad. I watched a documentary on it, but there is a speculation that she was on a powerful weight loss drug is what they said. And then she had also relapsed into the opioids. But it was pretty sad.
Damn.
All right. So let's discuss, because I said I was a little down lately. Instead of just accepting being down, I'm a researcher. I'm like, okay, when you're in a down mood, what can we do to
bring us up out of that mood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, important.
What can I don't we think do?
We look into those things enough.
No, we just assume we're in a bad mood.
That's
we'll
what
just
it
wait
is.
For it to pass.
No.
So
you
I
change it.
So I started to look up ways, like specifically dopamine, serotonin, like how do you boost those things? And you know, it's difficult for someone who like me, I already live a healthy lifestyle. It's hard to find something that's to add into that.
Yeah.
Because all of the things that you read when it says, what do I do to boost my mood? It says, have a good daily routine, exercise, eat a healthy, balanced diet. I'm like, okay, check. Sleep well. I do all those things.
A little more.
Cold. But so it's the obvious things, like I just said, eat right, have a routine. A routine is critical, actually. A good routine. Everything we do in life is based on having a really good routine. But for me personally, because I have everything there is pretty solid, two things I honed in on was I need to refocus on my sleep because it has been disrupted with the menopause stuff. But the other thing was music. Remember, we just talked about this.
Music, yeah.
Music is a really good way to release serotonin and dopamine.
Yes.
And music is something that had fallen out of my life because I started listening just to podcasts.
Huh, that happens.
And I just forgot. I'm like, gosh, I never listen to music. And then I started to correlate something. Why is it that like the only time I really feel good and like happy is when I'm in my Orange Theory class? It's because I'm listening to music and exercising. Yep. It's a double dopamine whammy.
That is true.
And that's probably why going to those classes is so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will move my schedule around. I will go come hell or high water. I'm going to my class. And it dawned on me that it's because I get my little fixes there.
Yeah.
Dopamine, serotonin from exercise and good music.
Happy place. And you come out feeling good afterwards.
Yes.
A little bit of rush. So you put some music on after you leave.
Yeah, so I've decided I'm going to try to... I love my podcast. Don't get me wrong. I love listening to podcasts. I want you guys to continue to listen to podcasts.
I do too.
But I need to set aside some time for music. So when I get ready, like when I'm blow dry my hair, I got to remember to play music. Sometimes when I'm driving, I need to do music. Sometimes when I'm just doing chores around the house, I need to have music on.
Did you ever do it back in the days when you clean the house?
I used to do it all the time. My mom used to do it.
Yeah.
Danny and I, my brother, we have such fond memories of my mom like cleaning on a Saturday morning and she would put on the Grease soundtrack.
No way.
Yes. And then her and I, we would put on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack when that movie came out. So we would listen to music together quite a bit. She loved listening to music. Back then, we didn't have the option for like podcasts and things. And now I think we've gotten away from music.
Yeah, yeah. Podcast is a thing. Especially people who commute or in traffic, it's the best. It makes it go by. I know.
But so music, you guys, create a playlist of your favorite songs. Have different types of content.
Yes. Different genres.
Yeah.
I listen to all kinds of different music.
And so another one regarding dopamine that I thought was very interesting, dopamine and serotonin and just mental health in general. Probiotics and digestive enzymes. Doesn't that sound weird? But not.
Gut health.
There is a direct connection. They call 100%. The gut the second brain.
It's true.
There's a direct connection to your mood. You cannot have good gut health and a good mood, good gut health, bad gut health, and a good mood, and vice versa.
Yeah, gut health's important. It does affect mental health.
They're connected, and it is a... makes a huge difference. So you got to be on top of your digestive health, your digestive enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics. That's why, do you notice sometimes...
Even if you're regular, you should take probiotics?
Yeah, because it's not just about pooping. It's just about the environment inside of your gut because there's hormone secretion that happens in your gut.
Yeah.
And are you getting your serotonin? Do you ever find that you're not hungry right after a workout?
Yeah, I know why. You told me why.
Serotonin
in your stomach.
Because it releases serotonin in a good way. It's going to make you feel good, going to make you feel happy.
Sometimes people throw
up. But it also, that serotonin releases in your gut. And that causes nausea. And that's also probably why some people throw up during workouts.
Yeah.
It's a mix of adrenaline and serotonin. It's almost like taking vitamins on an empty stomach.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. That hurts. I've done that by accident.
What?
But vitamins on an empty stomach.
Oh, that's the worst.
You feel super nauseous. Especially fat-soluble vitamins.
Yeah, you need to take those food. With food. You will not feel good. Right now, I just had a rice cake with almond butter because I wanted to take some vitamins. Specifically, if you take it with fat, it would be really...
Somebody's probably going to listen to this, or will be listening to this, and probably going to laugh at their coffee. Damn, I've done that too.
What, taking vitamins?
Yeah.
Accidentally?
Nasty. Yeah.
Sometimes you think, oh, I ate an hour ago, it's fine. No, take it with
your food. Yes.
Like, it is the worst... It'll stop you in your tracks. You won't be able to go work out. You won't be able to do anything because you'll feel like absolute crap.
Yep.
That is for sure. So yeah, that was interesting though, the gut health piece of things. I'm pretty much on top of my gut health. I take the gut health supplement from 1UP.
It's the same people who have to go number two because they're nervous as hell. It hits them. You
That's
know?
Why also.
Adrenaline, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so think about it. It's the brain releases a hormone into the gut, yeah. And then you poop or yes. Vomit. Why do people get, when they get nervous, one why the do other. They go, I want to throw up?
Yes.
Why? It's directly connected.
That's out of nowhere.
The brain and the gut are yes. Directly connected. So if you do not take care of your gut health, that could be impacting your mental health severely. So if you have a gluten intolerance, but you continue to eat gluten, if you have lactose intolerant, but you eat it anyway, and you walk around like a bloated pufferfish, you're also impacting your mental health. You're not meant to do that.
No.
So you have to...
I can't remember the doctor's name, but he said, you can't have good physical health without having good mental health. And you can't have good mental health without having good physical health.
It's true.
They both go hand in hand. Can't cut one out the other.
Another thing about mood, sunshine. If you can't get sunshine, then you need to be supplementing with vitamin D. Like if there's a few days of rain, you're not going to get sun, make sure your vitamin D's on point because it dips and that will absolutely affect your mood.
And if you can afford to get you some tanning sessions.
Yeah, but then there's the health risks of... But
that's true.
You got to weigh it out.
Yes.
One tanning session sometimes will pull you right out of a mood. I know I follow
How
actually.
How about sauna sessions?
You mean, do they release dopamine? I don't know.
That's My cold showers do. My cold showers are the best.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to say. So yeah. Your cold showers, it's a dopamine dump, right?
Since December, 6+ months of doing it straight. The only time I took a break was when I had COVID for 2 days.
So share why you should be, it is something you should skip when you're sick, right? Remember yes. We discussed that?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. Sauna exposure causes a significant release of dopamine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I need to do
that. A sense of euphoria, as well as improved mood, energy, sense of calm, and pain tolerance.
I like that.
I need to go to the sauna because I can do the sauna. I can do heat. I can't do the cold shower.
It's
oh,
crazy.
Wow.
Cold's the best. Try it out, you guys. Give it a try. 3 minutes. It won't kill you. It'll hurt a little bit, sting, but you'll feel good after. You'll feel wide awake and happy.
Yes. People say, why do I feel happy after the sauna? Sauna bathing reduces the levels of cortisol in our blood and stimulates the production of serotonin also. And that's why a lot of people will do that after a workout to kind of like
yes.
Balance back out there, bring their cortisol back down, especially
Smart.
If you're doing an evening workout, because yes, your cortisol is going to raise during your workout, but you want that to happen. But then you want, you know how like it's hard to go to sleep after an
yes.
evening workout because your cortisol levels are still risen. You need to help bring them back down. And so it says this,
Oh, you'll sleep like a baby.
According
to this. Do that for 20 minutes after your workout. If you can handle it, you'll sleep like a baby.
Yeah. We need a sauna at home. That'd be nice.
I know.
Because then you could just go right to bed.
Yeah. It's too bad we can't use the gym hot tubs. I ain't using no public hot tub. That's relaxing, too.
The public hot tub?
Yeah, oh. You know, the gym.
I don't know why I get grossed out
by
it.
Of course, because a different body's going
stuff.
In there. It's really just chlorine.
I hate overthinking. I hate when my brain starts to like
overthink.
Really think about things. I don't like to think about that. It was funny because I was reading comments on a TikTok. There was a lady who was doing teacher gifts on TikTok. She was creating teacher gifts. It was like homemade cookies and she put them in these cute little bags. And there was tons. The video went viral for whatever reason. And there was tons of comments. People were saying like, oh my God, no, don't give homemade goods to your teacher. Teachers would never... eat homemade goods. And then people were like, oh yeah, I would never eat a cookie that's given to me by my student. And then other people were like, okay, I can see that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But does it? Because you'd go to the bakery and you buy a cookie made by the dude that's right there
exactly.
In the back. You don't know who the hell he is from
no.
Tom.
And you don't know if his hands are clean or what the hell's
right?
going on. You're
so
assuming.
What the hell's the difference?
That's true.
I just thought it was so funny. It's like, oh God, gross. You're eating a homemade cookie from a student? Really? But aren't you eating a homemade cookie from a complete and total stranger from a bakery?
Yes, that's so factual. Very true.
So what's the difference? You go to a restaurant, you don't get the background check of the cooks that just made your food.
Yeah.
You don't know their health records.
Exactly.
You don't know how many times they wash their hands.
Yes.
And
you're
that like, will mess with your mind.
You're assuming that they're clean and they're washing their hands and they're being careful back there. You're assuming
Yeah, but
that.
Think about how many people are just gross.
Oh, yeah.
And do they really care that much to be extra clean if they didn't like wipe their nose a little bit?
Especially in a fast food environment, even worse probably.
I thought it was funny because it's like you care about one thing, but then you don't think about other things. Yeah, I wouldn't want a homemade cookie from a student, but I go to restaurants, I go to bakeries.
True.
I go to Starbucks. I have no idea who just made that.
Exactly.
It's just you're assuming.
You're just assuming.
Anyways, I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, please, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. Join the conversation in the comments. I love conversing with you guys in the YouTube comments, so please go ahead and do that.
Yes.
And thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.